Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, your presence is so wonderful in this place. Lord God, we submit to you. Have your way, Holy Spirit. It's not about us, Lord. Bring forth your word, Lord. For your people are listening. Have your way, Jesus.
For I have established my foot in this place, and I shall not be hindered, but I will do what my word has set out to do, and it shall not return void. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will execute those things that I decide to do, for it is written, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for establishing yourself in this place, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, thank you.
Bless the name of the Lord. I sense some struggles going on in
here. Yes. Father, we break every stronghold right now in the name of Jesus. We bind up every spirit that's not yours.
Yes, sir.
We come against it in the name of Jesus. Father, by the blood of Jesus, set your people free. Every mind right now receive the mind of Christ. Submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Demons have no authority here, have no power. Only the blood of Jesus has prevailed. And the Holy Spirit is here to show forth the victory in Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Set your people free. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Have your way, Lord. You are victorious, Christ. You're awesome in all of your ways. Creation bows to you, Lord God. We are subject to you.
Yes, Lord.
You are the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God of all creation, the creator of heaven and earth, and everything within them. Lord, bless your own name. Glorify your son, Jesus, with the glory you two had before the world was. Have your way, Lord. Right now, in the matchless name of Jesus. Have your way. Be exalted, O God, in this place. We're here to worship you, Lord. We're here to magnify the name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Your people are waiting to see, Lord, signs and wonders. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Manifest yourself, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Bless your holy name. You're Lord here, and you reign supreme, Lord. Hallelujah. You are superior, Lord, and we are inferior. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. In the blessed name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Come on, somebody say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus.
Come on now.
Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus.
Yes. Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless your name.
Hallelujah. Mm.
Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Sister Vicki. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I realize that my pulpit is now a haven for toys. I look back there, and I kid you not, it is literally filled with toys right now. Yeah, I guess we failed to check this thing. It's good to see you all again. God is so good.
Amen.
All the time. Amen.
Amen.
And the Spirit of the Lord is at work. I'm so glad to see you all today. We're in Revelation chapter 18 this morning. And let me tell you, if you have been watching the news lately, you see some incredible things happening that are contrary to the Word of God.
Yes.
Which tells you and I that the end times are coming faster than we ever anticipated them. A gentleman that Shelley showed me, and I went back and looked at a little bit more, has filed a $70 million lawsuit against the Bible publishing companies to have any language in the Bible removed that refers to homosexuality. Okay? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about this blessed book. They may be able to close down the black and white, but they cannot stop the Word of God.
Thy words have I heard, hid in my heart that I might not sin against God.
That's right. So they may be able to take the paper away, but they can't take God's word away.
Amen.
Don't God's people ever forget that. So they can burn down the publishing companies. They can shut them down and do whatever they want to. But Jesus Christ's word will go forth. On the night in which Lord Jesus was betrayed, one of the things he promised his dad, and you have to look very carefully to see it towards the end of that prayer in John chapter 17, He said, I will make your name known.
Yay.
Folks, do you know what that means? That means the gospel will go forth.
Amen.
But this isn't the first time in history that they tried to shut out the Word of God. Look back through history, church history, when they tried to stump it out. They couldn't. God's Word will prevail.
Hallelujah.
It will prevail. What's going on right now in Revelation 19? Where are we in time? What is happening to the earth? Folks, John is still in heaven. And Jesus our Lord is still revealing to him the plagues, the judgment that he's causing to happen to the earth. And we're at that point now that God is sending out a powerful word to the saints. And you're going to see it in Revelation 18 here. It's a warning to the saints to get out. It is a warning to tell the church that it is now time for you to separate yourself. Stop living like the world and be separated. This is the warning. And it's very clear there. Preachers who say that the church has been raptured, they better go back and look at this blessed word again. Because we will see today that you and I, if we're here, we're going to go through until the Holy Ghost removes us.
Right. Amen.
Okay?
Glory to God.
But until then, God got a powerful word for the church, for the saints. And he specifically say saints.
Yes.
That's you and me.
That's it.
And he's talking to the saints that have been intertwined like weeds in a peanut patch. That's the best I can do. But you think about it. You plant a garden and you go out there and all of a sudden you go, I know I didn't plant weeds with my crops. Okay? Where did all these weeds come from? And you call your kids to come out there and start doing what? Pulling them out, right? But God's not going to pull you and I out of this world like that. It's going to be one big end time what? Harvest, a gathering of the saints. Okay? Now, as we look at the language, Revelation 18, folks, if you put yourself into the scriptures, ask the Holy Ghost to help you get in the scriptures right now. Look and see where we are in time in the scriptures. There is a worldwide one government.
Yes.
In control. There is a one world religion. Okay? There is a one world economic system, a financial system. The world is now in unison with itself. Okay? And God is about to crash and burn this world system. Okay? In chapter 17, the Bible identifies this one world system as Babylon the whore.
Whore, yeah.
Okay? And there's a great call from God by the angel of God to us specifically in this chapter.
Yes.
Let's take a look. So John, he's watching this. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was illuminated with his glory. First of all, this lets you and I know this is not a demon. Amen? This angel is illuminated with the glory of God. Do you remember reading in Luke chapter 1 when Gabriel showed up to Mary? What did she see? She saw the radiance of the glory of God all over him. And she freaked out. Okay? And earlier, that same angel had gone to John the Baptist's parents. Father, that is, Zechariah in the temple. Mm-hmm. And Zechariah looked over, seeing this majestic being standing there, and he freaks out. So what do you think we're going to do when we see him?
Yeah, we're going to freak out.
Okay? Because we've never seen anyone like him. So this angel, he's coming now, and he's going to speak powerful words. Listen to the word of God through the mouth of this angel. Lord Jesus sends this messenger specifically for the church.
Hallelujah.
And he cried mightily with a loud voice. That means God wants you to listen. God wants you and I to pay attention. Stop ignoring the voice of his written word. Stop ignoring the voice of his prophetic word. Stop ignoring the voice of the spirit that's in you. He wants you and I to listen. And listen in the Greek and both Hebrew languages mean not only to hear the voice of God when God is talking, but it also means simultaneously to obey God when God is talking. That's what it means. So you and I need to get ready. When we say, when Doris sits there and she goes, "Ooh, I feel the Spirit." You betcha. Why? Because it's at that moment the Holy Spirit is saying something to her.
Amen.
When you say, "Oh, Pastor, I feel," and sometimes you see me going, I'm fumbling over my words because I don't know, I can't explain to you what's happening to me at that moment. That means the Spirit of God is at work. Sometimes you lay on your bed, Tammy, and you become speechless. It has happened to me countless times when I wanted to say, "Honey, this is what's going on with me," but I can't say anything. So God is talking. God is talking, and His audience is us.
Yes, amen.
Okay? So the angel, he's crying out with a loud voice saying, "Babylon the Great is fallen. This world system has just crashed and burned. All of your investment just went." You know what y'all like to say now. I can't say that in the church. Okay? All of your fame, everything that makes you who you are in this world system just went away. The government that you once relied on to feed you has just crashed and burned. Those religious leaders that you thought were the ones that, "Oh man, that's God's man." Yeah, his true identity is going to be revealed.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah. You're going to know if that neighbor next door to you belonged to Jesus.
Yes.
When this system hits, God's children is going to shine forth like the noonday sun.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay? The real you, the real Christ in you is going to bring you forth. And the world is going to know that you are different. Because when this crisis comes, folks, not only is it going to be a global crisis, but this is a crisis that's caused by God Himself. Therefore, it cannot be reversed.
Yes, hallelujah.
It will not be reversed. I don't care how many heads you got in Wall Street, okay, or the New York Stock Exchange. I don't care what kind of heads are in Washington or in Rome or any other city, right? They cannot fight against God and win. Amen. They cannot. When this angel say Babylon the Great has fallen, that's exactly what he means. God gets the last say-so. I don't care how powerful China's army may be, China's economy may be. I don't care how fast Russia is approaching to be another world superpower like it used to be. It doesn't matter, people. Pay attention to Greece. It's an indication of what yet to come. Greece's economy just did what?
Crashed and burned.
Crashed and burned. The prime minister did what? Resigned. And they're wondering now, is this going to have an impact on the world system? The great minds to be are worried right now. And I'm sitting back going, "Yeah, Lord Jesus, bring it on. Because I know what's in store." But you and I need to understand the words of King David. In Psalms 37, he told you and I, from the Holy Spirit in him. David said, "I've been young, and now I'm what? Old. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread."
Yes.
That means God takes care of his own. Okay? And folks, there's some tough times ahead. Don't ignore the warnings. It's coming. So this angel is telling you and I, look, don't depend on this world system. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Of our faith. Hold on to him. So Babylon the Great has fallen, and then it says it again. One thing we do know from studying the scriptures, here's you got to understand language. In Hebrew culture, if something is said once with a great exclamation point to it, that means you better pay attention. But if you hear it, what? Wow. Twice, that means you better give it everything you got. Because you can bank on it, God is getting ready to bring it to pass.
Yes, amen.
And here, he says it what? Twice. Fallen. Fallen. It's a done deal. Okay? Prepare your children. Now, parents. Prepare your grandchildren, grandparents. Right now. Tell them to cling to Jesus like they've never clinged to him before. Tell your neighbors, cling to Jesus. Yes. And then you cling to Jesus like you never done before in your life. The Holy Spirit is telling you, this is a gift from God right now. A warning. When God gives a warning, that's a blessing.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So, it has become a dwelling place of demons. A prison for every foul spirit. And the same measure given her torment and sorrow. Let me stop there before I go any further. Do you realize what's about to happen to this world? Let me back you up on the night in which Lord Jesus was betrayed. Let me tell you who showed up. Huh? Oh, glory. Let me tell you who came to town. Jesus is sitting there. He's reclining with the 12, right? They had this beautiful supper. And he began to tell them about who was going to betray them, him. And as he spoke those words to them, guess who walked in the room? The chief principality himself walked in. And the apostles had no idea that Satan had walked in the room. They thought it was business as usual. Now, let me broaden your horizon. If the chief principality came to town, who do you think came with him?
The
cohort. Hello. Who do you think showed up with him, Don? Huh? Mike? Who do you think came to town with him? Not only did his two top generals named Hades and Death show up, but who else showed up? Every demon in hell showed up in Jerusalem that night. Why? Because they came for one reason and one reason only, and that is to destroy the Son of God. They didn't care about you humans. Huh? They came for one purpose, to conquer, as they call the conqueror. Yeah, right. They got conquered too. Mm-hmm. Now, that was just in Jerusalem. Are you listening to me? That was just in Jerusalem. God refined them and contained them to Jerusalem. Now it's global. It's now worldwide. How old are you, son? 16, 17?
Yeah.
Can you imagine a demon on your heel everywhere you go? The Bible tells you and I, he just said it, folks. Look at the language. Every foul spirit has showed up. And if y'all think things were creepy, isn't that one of your words? If you think things were creepy, or think things are creepy now, wait till that day. Because until then, Who do you think is holding them in check? The Holy Spirit is. Those demons can't do no more than what the Spirit of God allowed them to do.
Yeah, come on.
And now, whoo, the Bible, did I make this up?
No.
Did you not read it? Are you not following along in the Word of God? Are you not seeing this for yourself? That now worldwide is now under demonic control.
Yes.
Woo! Come on now. I'm not here to glorify them. I'm here to glorify God.
Amen.
Numbers beyond imagination are now demonic possessed. That means people by the millions now are demonic possessed. You've taken the sermon, Deke. That's exactly what the Holy Ghost was getting ready for me to say. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit of the living God living in them. They're now subject to demonic possession. Young kids and older. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
But if they're washed in the blood, the demons can't touch you.
Thank
you. Come on. Yes, because the Holy Ghost is not going to share his house with a demon.
Right.
Are you hearing me?
You.
Folks, what you see happening in the United States today is a preparation for this to happen on a larger scale. Okay? This, the things that's been happening here, the same-sex marriage, the opposition to the Word of God, the putting prayer out, trying to squelch the Word of God. Folks, these are just preludes to what's going to happen on a larger scale.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, you can only imagine now. If you ever thought about walking with the Lord, it is now.
Now. Absolutely. Amen.
Oh, you hear me? Because the Holy Spirit is going to put his shield of protection around you. Now, let me do tell you this. That's around your spirit. Your body may be subject to being tortured. Are you getting this? Your body may be subject to being tortured, but your spirit can't be touched by them.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You hear me? So never before had the world ever seen something so horrible than when this happens. When God pulls this world system down, it crashes and it opens the door for every demon spirit to come in. Whew. Let's take a look further. And so he tells you and I here that God does this. Babylon the great is fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Let me tell you something. I watched one day when our ministry was on the other side. Dory, you remember when we was on the other side, you and Mike. And I watched all these buzzards all over High Spring. For some reason, High Spring is a dwelling place for buzzards, mm-hmm. unclean fowls that's listed in the scriptures here. And I stepped back and I said, Lord, why such emblems of death present in High Springs? He said they come where they're fed. What does that mean on the spiritual scene? Did y'all get it? They come where they are fed. They wouldn't stay here if they weren't being. And on the spiritual side, it say what? They're being what? Fed. Okay? The demon spirits are being fed by the lifestyles of the people in the city.
Yeah, okay.
Hello, did you get that? So if you want to see him disappear, you watch the Holy Ghost take over the town and watch him get out. Because the ground in which you and I walk on that's conquered by the Holy Spirit is now what? Holy ground. And ain't no demon in hell gonna walk on God's holy ground. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
So the Greek word that's used there for those caged animals, those caged birds, those unclean birds, it's the same word that y'all like to call for haunted house. It really is. And when you look at this word, it tells you and I that somebody gave it an invitation to come. Who gave the invitation for them to come? Huh? Who gives any invitation for a demon to come now? Huh? People do.
Unbelievers
do. Because you and I are not authorized by God to touch that which is unclean. And when you mess with the demonic, that is the most unclean thing you can mess with. And that's why God tell you, hands off horoscopes. Hands off the palm reader and psychic hotlines. Okay? And Ouija board. And this new thing that they're playing. Huh? What's it called?
Charlie,
that demon. It's supposed to originate in Mexico, but it ain't nothing new for Mexico. It's been here all along. Folks, understand, you mess with the demonic, you're going to get burned. Run away from it. And it's targeting young people. Why? Because God is getting ready to send a great evangelistic movement out there to bring his young people in. Folks, she spoke of it earlier. The same thing the Lord had been showing me in dreams. Go after the young people. Mm-hmm. Bring me the youth. And the children. And guess who attached to them? Their parents.
That's right.
Now, looking onward. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication or sexual immorality. If you look around today, I don't care if it's a car commercial or lumber or whatever the item being sold, they got some girl with no clothes on almost.
Yeah, come on.
Attached to it. Mm-hmm. I told y'all about the time when we first moved here 10 years ago and one of the companies was selling lumber. And on top of the truck of lumber was a girl in a bikini. I go, what does a girl in a bikini have to do with a truckload of lumber? Lies from the enemy. Everything is saturated with sexual innuendos.
Yep.
Okay? You can't get away from it. And it's telling the young girls it's okay for you to do this. Mm-hmm. Because it's stuck in their face every day. And they wonder why the state of our young people, the condition of their mind, their morals, their values, okay, are directed in that direction. Okay? Lust. The King James Version calls it a couple of things. Y'all ready for some crazy words? The King James Version calls it concupiscent. Anybody know that one? Can you say that one very fast? I know, it messes up your head, don't it? All right? The other one is called lasciviousness. Okay? They both. Here's what it is. That means you desire, as a young man, for this young girl to put on some skimpy clothes. Okay? So that you can lust after. And she desired to put on those skimpy clothes so that you can do what? Lust after. Okay? And so both are just as wrong. Both is just as wrong. But it's not just you all. Okay? The age, just picking on you, sis.
That's okay.
The age is also pulling their skirts up. I see them all the time walking by there. I go, whoa, ain't she kind of old to be dressed like that? Mm-hmm. She need to go cover her stuff up. Okay. So it's not limited to age anymore. Are y'all hearing me? And that old saying, if you got it, flaunt it. Yeah. But watch God. Anyway. But everybody is exposed to the lies of this system. And whatever this system is, it's going to draw you, this attempt is to draw you away from the one true God.
Amen.
Through deception.
Yep.
It's strategy is to get you to bite into a little bit of what appears to be the truth. They're flavored with God and with the things of God. But when you examine it very closely, guess what? It's not. It's not of God. And that's why I tell you all, learn the word of God. Amen. Know what you're being taught. Know what you're being preached to, okay? Don't sit up under everybody and go, oh, he's so preaching out. It sure sound good. But does it line up with the word of God? The standard is the word of God.
Amen.
Okay, pull that blessed book out and read it and study it. When you don't understand it, pull some things out that people have done the same research on and see. Say, oh, that's what that means. Okay. Study the ancient writings. You're just as smart as everybody else. You can understand it. Because the same Holy Ghost that taught me will also teach you.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Get in the Word of God. Spend time with it and watch him open up your mind. And let me tell you, it's a beautiful thing when you see the glory of God in the scriptures. Come on, somebody. When you see Jesus moving forward, you go, oh, yeah, that's my daddy. Uh-huh. Pick on me now, devil. Look who's on my side. But anyway, if you kind of go back to Ezekiel chapter 28, if you look at verse 3 here, it says, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her what?
Luxury.
Okay. Do you know that that word that's listed there as luxury also can be listed as lust? Mm. Didn't know that one, did you?
The abundance of her lust.
You betcha. Now, here's the thing about lust, and the word all by itself in lust is called epithemia. And it doesn't have to necessarily mean sex. Okay? It could mean you got trucks, am I right? You're a truck lover then, right? What if you had a whole fleet of them? 300, 400, and 500 trucks. How would that make you feel? Oh yeah, the man boy go, oh, you're good. Okay?
Stress.
Stress, oh, all right. You like motorcycles, right? Harley. Come on, say yes. Yeah. And he like a particular brand, Harley. Okay? He's a dog man. A hog. What do they call hogs or dogs?
Hogs.
Oh, boy. I just made a mistake. Oh, my goodness.
He's gonna use
Nah, that just woke him up. He was going to sleep. Call his motorcycle a dog. But whatever it is to lure you, you like all them different kind of pianos and organs, don't you? Mm-hmm. You love the nice sounding keyboard, don't you? What if you had a whole room of them? Mm-hmm. And they're top of the line.
Yeah.
You like that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
I see you salivating already.
Yeah.
Okay. So lust can come in what? Different forms. Mm-hmm. What if I took you to the mall, to 21? You know that store, 21?
Mm-hmm.
You know that store. Say yes. Yeah, because you do. She goes, what's he talking about? And Mom goes, you know that store. She goes, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. What if you had one of them in your back room and it all belonged to you? What would you think about that?
She'd never be able to leave that room.
I know. I should never be able to leave that room. You like to cook, don't you? What if you got on the top cooking show with the best chefs in the world? Look, look, she just lit up. She became radiant. Did you see that, Mike? She lit up here like a Christmas tree. Folks, that's what lust means. It doesn't always have to be in a sexual connotation. Okay? It means that your desires have gone somewhere else other than to who? God, or Lord Jesus. In Psalms 34, David writes, he says, God will give you the desires of your heart because you what? Love him. Come on, somebody. Because you what? Love him. Because you what? Love him. He will give you the desires of your heart. And that word, lust, epithema, is also the word desire.
Amen.
But used in a positive note. Your desire is for God and God alone and not material things.
Hallelujah.
This world system is full of material things to draw people away from God.
Yes. Come on, preach it, brother.
And young people, a lot of them are running away from home today because mom and dad cannot give them the material things. Or not that they can't, but because they what? Want. So they decide to go somewhere else. Where they can get it. And then we see the evidence of their lifestyle in the young men in the NBA, in the NFL, and other professional sports, soccer, volleyball, tennis. Where is their God? Who are they serving? Who are they worshiping? And some of these folks were God-fearing young teenagers in church.
Yes.
And they use their athletic abilities to turn them away from God. Okay? To the world system of lust for material things. And that's what Babylon was built on. It catered to the appetite of the world. When the world was hungry for material things and saying, give us more, give us more, give us more, give us more. Instead of reaching out to God and say, we want more of you, Jesus. We want more of you, Lord.
Yes.
When Israel was in the wilderness, they had nothing but the stuff they brought out of Egypt with them. And you know what got them in trouble? They kept looking back to where? To Egypt. Mm-hmm. They kept wanting to go back. Oh, we had cucumbers in Egypt. Huh? Onions. And all kinds. And nowadays, y'all think, what? Onions and cucumber? Who want that? Give me a steak, okay? Or some New York pizza.
I like
that. You know what you like. But the fact is that Israel didn't realize what they had. No other nation in the world ever had God's presence with them for 40 years like that. Can you imagine walking out your tent in the morning and there is the pillar of cloud by day? That's the presence of God. The entire nation saw this. And at night, they had the pillar of fire. That was God's presence with them. God's Shekinah glory remained with Israel for 40 years in that wilderness.
Yes.
And yet, the people were not satisfied with this presence. And they're going, God, you know what I want today? I want what you gave them. I want your presence with me. I want your presence in here, Lord. I wish we could see the cloud of pillar come in here.
Amen.
And when God took his glory out of the temple, you read it in Ezekiel starting in chapter 8, but culminated in chapter 10. Sad thing. The Holy Ghost is now taking young Ezekiel up in the spirit, okay? He's in captivity in Babylon. What a coincidence, huh? No, it's the Spirit of God. So it takes him up from Babylon. He's a slave in Babylon. Takes him back to Jerusalem, to the temple. And he's there in the spirit, like John is in heaven right now, seeing the future. Well, Ezekiel was back in Jerusalem, looking at what was going on. And all of a sudden, he see these great angelic beings lift up the glory of God and head to the gate. And Ezekiel is looking, and he's broken. Why? Because the one thing that made Israel different than the rest of the world, that the glory of God was with them. Today, we say the Holy Spirit of God is with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending him. Amen? And can you imagine being young Ezekiel? And God shows you this, Christian. And he begins to mourn as the glory of God goes out of the east gate. Lifts up and rise and go back to heaven. Wow, the one thing that made that nation different than all the nations on earth. The glory of God himself. And so, the one thing that makes you and I different today is the Spirit of the living God. And King David also knew this. When he had messed up with Bathsheba, y'all know the story, right? When King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, got her pregnant, then he had her husband killed, Uriah killed in battle. You all know that story? Yep. In Psalms 51 is David's confession. Yes. And he writes about it, he pours his heart out. And one thing David says in there that really captured my heart, he said, Lord, do not take your spirit from me. Because he knows the moment that the Holy Ghost departs from a person,
yes,
that's it.
They're open to
you, betcha. And Lord Jesus even said that.
Yes.
He says, when the spirit is gone out from a man, he go into a dry place. He's searching, right?
Right.
And looking for a place to dwell. People, listen to me. We're talking about great demonic possession and oppression in the world. This time in history of the world and of the church, demons are rampant. They're innumerable right now upon the earth.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, when that demon goes out, he goes searching. And then he realized, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I got a home that's been cleaned out. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
I got a home that's been cleaned out. That means that person that was once demon possessed, he realized that, wait a minute, that house is still empty.
Yes.
Unless that house is filled by the Holy Spirit, that demon is going to go and find seven other demons worse than himself. Lord Jesus said this himself now.
That's what he said.
And it said that demon is going to come back with those seven foul spirits. And they're going to do what? They're going to re-enter that person.
Yes.
And the state of that person is going to be worse than the first time.
Mm-hmm. That's scary.
That is scary. Folks, can you imagine now, at this time now, this is what's going on around the world.
Mm-hmm.
People who were once demonic possessed, okay, mm-hmm, are now going to have what? Literally hundreds and maybe even thousands. You know the demoniac that Jesus caused to go, you know, he cast how many demons out?
Legion.
Legion.
Yes.
You know what a legion is in Rome?
600
soldiers. 6,000. I can't even get that in my mind. What y'all young people like to say? I can't even wrap my mind around that. Isn't that the way you talk? I don't know about you country boy. Okay, I'm a country boy too. What did they say in the country? I don't know. Invite them in the church. They're looking through the window. Tell them to come on in and allow the Holy Spirit to move in them. Okay. Anyway, and so people, can you imagine what's going on? Can you imagine Satan reaping a harvest? Huh? Do you know what you're going to be up against? Do you understand the importance of what Paul said? Put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
Why? Because in that day, if you think somebody is throwing fiery darts at your life now,
yes.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like then? When you're going to have a whole army of demons firing fiery darts at your life. But glory be to God, the Holy Ghost is greater than them all.
Amen.
Huh? The Spirit of Christ is greater than them all. And he gave us something. All right, let's move on. Verse 4. And he said, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Who is that? That's the church. But preachers get in the pulpit and they tell you, oh, you're going to be raptured out of here before all this happens. We're already in chapter 18. What about the other 17 chapters? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Folks, if you understand the scriptures by the Holy Ghost, you'll know what's going on. Okay? I'm not here lying to you. The church is still here. Because if the church wasn't here, why would God give a warning? And why would God give the beckoning call for you and I to come out from among them? Mm-hmm. Separate. This is the true definition of holiness. Hagias in the Greek. Okay? That means to be separated.
Yes.
It's now time for you to let there be a dividing line. Them and us.
Chaff from the wheat.
Okay? Separate yourself from the worldly system.
Yep.
If you tie to it through merchandise, sell it. If you tie to it through relationship, break them. If that's what's holding you back, God rather you to go into heaven broke financially and alone in relationships than to go to hell fully equipped and fully rich. From this world system. Break yourself away from it. Don't fix your eyes on the material things of this world. Don't fix your eyes on the world's definition of success. You want to know what success is? I will give you the definition of success. One word. Are you ready for it? Jesus. Jesus. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, he said, we're rich in his what? Grace. The Bible tells you and I through Paul's teaching that we're co-heirs or joint heirs with who? With Christ. And if we're joint heirs with him, does that make you poor? Who owns the universe? Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Huh? Does that make you poor, Christian? No. You're rich in God's mercy. You're rich in God's grace. You know what grace is, right? Grace is the favor of God. When man has the favor of God, he has everything he needs. Because when you got God, there's nothing else you need. Hello, somebody. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing me? Because the favor of God can take you places where men can't. And the favor of God can do things in your life that men cannot do. Okay? Now, let me tell you a common mistake made in interpretation of the scriptures. You remember the night in which Lord Jesus was born? We love singing that, don't we? Oh, holy night. Did y'all realize what happened that night out in the field, not far from Bethlehem? What happened out in the field, not far from Bethlehem? What happened outside of that small town in southern Judea that night? Say it again. The angels came to town. They showed up huge, didn't they? And this one particular angelic being went to some lowly little who? Shepherds. And he told them the greatest news of all. He said, born unto you this day in the city of David is who? Christ who? Christ the Lord. Okay? Wonderful, wonderful news. And then all of a sudden, who else shows up? At first, the angel was talking to them by himself. And then who else showed up, Mike? Do you remember the story? Who? Satan. No, Satan better not have been near there. God had knocked his head off. Say it again. The heavenly host showed up. Showed up specifically for those men. Okay?
Heavenly
and
host.
Sir?
Heavenly who?
Heavenly host.
Angels, millions.
Yes. Millions of them. Showed up. God sent the choir to them. I know Ms. Vicky liked that. God sent the choir to them. Because they did what? You read about it in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 6. You looking there? Who showed up? The heavenly choir shows up, okay? And they begin to sing praises to God. That's some good stuff, Tamara. You would love to have been there, wouldn't you? Huh? You'd have fit right in with the sopranos. I don't know what level you are. But anyway, so they show up. And they sang this great chorus line, and then the angels, they began to echo these words of prophecy. Did you know that? Did you know they spoke prophecy? They said, what they say? Peace on earth and what? Goodwill towards who? Towards men. Okay? Now, that's what our English translators typically show us. Am I correct?
Yeah.
They gave a word of prophecy. Peace on what? On earth and goodwill towards who?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But did you know the rest of that didn't get translated? The rest of that verb did not get translated. It says, here's the literal translation. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men whom God's favor. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Whom God favors. So you're not going to get God's peace and God's goodwill unless he favors you. Okay? That's marvelous. That's wonderful. And so, when you're living in this time of demonic oppression, when this world system crashes, when God brings it down, what's the best time to kick somebody?
When they're down.
And what do you think the demon's going to do to those who all what? What happened when all of a sudden you was a millionaire and you become poor? You become broke. Okay? What do you think happened to their countenance? What happened to their emotions, their facial expressions and their attitudes and their character, their personality? What happens to them? It went out the window. Well, what happened, Don? All of a sudden, your rich buddies are no longer what? Rich. And some of them are going to go and jump. Some of them are going to put a noose around their necks. Are y'all hearing me?
Yep.
Why? Because depression lies in. And the demons are going to hop on that. And they're going to make sure they go down and stay down. But those of us that scan the gospel of Jesus Christ are going to go to him and say, listen, life has not ended. Life has just begun for you. And let me tell you why. Because of Jesus. Life as you know it, yes. But there's a new life for you now. God wants to introduce you to a new life. Okay? You remember reading in 1 John chapter 1 where John called Jesus the word of life? When you're reading that, that's what you get to go and tell your friends. Okay? Now, I don't know when this is going to take place. None of us know. Some predicts that this coming September, something's going to happen. Okay? So I don't know, but I do know that the word of God is true. And these things are going to happen. And that's why you are going to have to start leaning on God's everlasting arm. You're going to have to start depending on Lord Jesus like you never depended on him before. It's now time for you to start asking him, praying. You know the simple prayer that Lord Jesus gave us beginning in Matthew chapter 6 verse 9? He said, pray in this manner, our Father Okay? Come on, somebody. Stay with the Spirit. We need to pray, Our Father. He's telling you, got to depend on God by calling God Father. That's what you and I have to do. Our Father. What? Who are in heaven. That separates him from all other gods. Okay? Because his throne is in heaven. So you identify who he is, Our Father who's in heaven. Then you go ahead and you worship him. Okay? And you worship him by saying, Hallowed be thy what? Thy name, give him the glory, somebody. You lift him up, you exalt him in prayer when you say, Hallowed be thy name. And then you say, Lord, let your will be done. Where? On earth. Where? As it is in heaven. Okay? God, I want you here. I want your ways here. I want your manifested glory here. Have your way, Lord God, here. Okay? And then the next thing that Lord Jesus told us to pray for in that prayer, he said, give us our daily what?
Bread.
That's dependence on God. He don't care what's in your bank account.
Amen.
He said, ask him for it. Do you not know that there were some rich folks sitting on the side of that mountain when Jesus was giving that sermon? Did you not know that was wealthy folks sitting there listening to him? When he told them to pray and ask God, give us our daily bread. Now, earlier, Jesus had just told the greatest enemy in the world, when he argued with him, when he told him to turn the stones into bread if he's the Son of God, you remember what Lord Jesus told the devil? He said, man shall not live by what? By bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of who? God. You go back and you find that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where Moses reminded Israel that you're not to live on wealth alone. In other words, bread. But by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Okay? You got to hold on. Times are going to get tough. And you may still have access to your money. We don't know. But from everything that we're looking at, you won't. All your investments, your portfolio, all that stuff is going to, it's going to crash and burn. And then what will become a living reality? Father, give us our what? Daily bread. Hello, somebody.
We're going to be dependent
when we want to be here. Yes, yes, yes. Okay? And these preachers getting $300,000 salaries, all of a sudden going to be just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, so God says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in their, what? Or her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. God said, unless you come out and live a different life than the world, I'm going to put the same thing on you as I put on them.
Yes.
Wait a minute, God, I'm your baby, the church. You go, yes, I know. And that's why I'm warning you. Come out. You remember when God got Israel safely to the other side of the shore?
Yes.
Do you remember reading there? God gave them the stern warning. He says, when you go into the land now, do not commit the sins that the Egyptians have committed. He says, so that I do not put the plagues that I just put on them on you. From the Lord your God, who what? Heals you. He told them to be separate. Live a separate life. He didn't take them out of the world. He said live different. He's not taking us out of the world. He's not taking you out of your community. He didn't say go build a community and for all the Christians to live in it.
Nope.
He just said let your life be different. Mm-hmm. Come out and live different. Okay? The life that I gave you through my son. Jesus Christ was God's greatest role model on earth. Not the disciples. Jesus. Okay? You look at the disciples, then if I tell you something, you might get mad at me and tell you that Peter committed racism. Well, you're aware of that one. If you don't believe it, go and read in Galatians chapter 2, where Paul said I had to stand him up face to face. for you to be held accountable for what he did. Go and read it. So racism isn't something new. Okay? Now, we'll finish this chapter next week, the Lord's willing. But there's a beckoning call from the Holy Ghost right now. God's Spirit. Lord Jesus sent this word. He had John write this down for a reason. And he's writing it to all the churches. Okay? The seven churches in Asia Minor. All right? That's listed in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. He wrote to those churches for a reason, folks. Because as a whole, the number 7 is God's perfect number of completion. All right? So it's that 7 churches represented God's church, the church of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? So as a whole, those 7 churches represented us. And we can look at either one in that circle, because they was on a circuit, okay? And if you look at either one of them at any time, that could be you. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
You can be Ephesus that had walked away from her first what? Love. Jesus. You can be Sardis. That's really bad. That put up with everything. Okay? You can be Pergamos. Done a lot of things right. Where the first martyr of the church happens. Okay? But yet you put up with a little bit of stuff from the enemy. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. All right? When the Supreme Court made its decision, how many Christians all of a sudden start flying the gay colors on their Facebook picture? Did you see them there?
No, I actually did not see any Christians doing
that. Yeah.
But I know that they have, yes.
A lot of them I know, start flying the gay colors. Yeah. Accepting the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Are you hearing me? Okay? Even though they themselves don't practice that behavior, there was acceptance of it. And Jesus said,
"Your colors are
yours. Your color. Don't you do that?" All right. And so Thyatira, the dead church, the one that beefed up. Oh boy, come over here. We're live. We got all the church programs. Okay. Everything that's going on, it's happening over here. And you hear churches advertising. Oh, yeah, come to us. Well, and they're spiritually, they're dead. But when you walk in, they got everything. And they're going, whoa, that's where I want my kids to be. They got this, they got that. Yeah, boy, they got a great youth program, great things for little kids, great adult things. And you're going, yes, that's where we want our family to be. But one thing was missing. Spirit of God.
That's right.
They were dead.
That's right.
Okay? And that's why I tell you all, you come here, you're going to get the word of God. We don't have to offer what the rest of them do. Look around you. Okay? But one thing we do have, that's the Spirit of God and God's word. We have that. Okay? And you're going to get that. And then you can be the Church of Philadelphia. Oh, everybody want to be Philadelphia, don't they? Amen? Everybody wants to be Philadelphia because Philadelphia was the model church. Didn't do anything wrong. But yet at the end, Jesus still gave a warning. Let him have an ear, hear what? The Spirit is saying to the churches. He didn't say church. He said churches. That means all 7. You better be paying attention to the message that was given to all 7.
Yes.
All right? And then the last church, the Church of Laodicea. That was the church that had everything. But it had a lot of motorcycles. Okay? It had a lot of 18-wheelers. You hear me? A lot of wardrobe, little teenager over there. All right? Because they said they was rich and they was in need of what? Nothing. Okay? Because their area, the minerals and all that they had, was they used it to invent a salve to heal eye disease. And so they became rich off of it. And basically they told Jesus, we don't need you anymore. Because we are self-sufficient, we're self-reliant, okay? And the Lord said, let me tell you who you are. He said, you are wretched, you're naked, you're miserable. And you're neither hot nor cold. And because you're neither hot or cold, I'm going to do what? Spit you out, or spew you out, or vomit you out of my mouth. That means out of his kingdom, out of his family. Bam, boom, you're gone, finished. Okay? He said, but I tell you what you need to do with that money that you got. He said, go and buy gold for me.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Buy gold. And everybody know gold, when it's refined in fire, it comes out precious. Amen?
Yes, amen.
He said, go and get your life like gold. Come to me with the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit and allow him to clean your life up. Okay? That's what God will do for you. So, pretty stern warning to the church, huh? Mm-hmm. Or churches. Churches. All right? Which represented the whole, the church. All right? Powerful word from God today. Come out from among them. Come out. Even though that's a future event, it's applicable for today.
Yes.
We must be different today. As we're closing out in prayer, we must be different. Revelation is a hard book for some to understand, to digest. But it's not when the Spirit of Christ is teaching it and preaching his own word. Okay? He wrote the book. He knows what's happening. So, every head bow. Thank you, Ms. Vicki. God knew where his church was in the city of Babylon. He knew. He knew every heart. And today, we can honestly say he knows. Know what I said? He knows every heart today. He knows where we are. Lord Jesus does. That's why he sent this word. If you have not been living according to God's word, this is your moment to ask God for forgiveness, to be cleansed by the purifying blood of Christ. I can't say you've been playing church. I don't know you. But you know where you are with Jesus. The Holy Ghost signified earlier today that some of you are struggling with some stuff. And that's what was hindering the spirit. And Lord Jesus sent a strong warning. He said, do not hinder my works. Don't hinder me. I heard that loud and clear. What y'all witnessed today, some of you for the very first time in your life witness a word of knowledge come forth from the Holy Spirit. You call it tongues, but you also heard the interpretation. That's biblical. I'm not going to squelch God's Spirit. I'm not going to quench the Spirit. When he sends a word, I shut my mouth and I listen myself, because the word may be for me. And that word is for us, and that word is for me. We will not hinder the works of Jesus. He's told us today something powerful, that he has planted his foot here. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Bless your holy name.
Yes.
So I'm asking you, in Jesus' name, if you're ready to surrender completely to Christ, then come and let us pray with you. If you feel you're okay, and you may very well be, then stay where you are. But I want to pray for you anyway, because you're not all right, because Satan has targeted you. I'm praying that the Spirit will fill you afresh. Fill you afresh. And give us a boldness that we've never seen before. Let's go before the Lord. Father, you're awesome in this place. You've spoken to your children today. You spoke to us. You sent a word of knowledge. And we heard it clearly, Lord Jesus. And there's some things that you want to burn off in our lives. Some things you want to take away. You want to open some doors for us and close some. Because you want your church pure. Your blood is still ever fresh as it was the day that you shed it. And the Holy Spirit is here to fill us afresh. And we're asking, just like Peter them did, Lord, for a second filling of the Spirit. Lord, fill us right now. Fill us, Lord Jesus. And give us a boldness. Give us a heart of courage to stand up and let people know I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I know it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, beginning with the Jew first and then the Greek. Help us, Lord, to show this world that we belong to you and that you belong to us. Help us to show them. Have your way now, Lord. Breathe, Holy Spirit. Move now. Move. Move in a powerful way among your people. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Touch hearts right now in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit. Every heart right now, Lord. Soften that heart and make it fertile ground. Grow a harvest in us, Lord. A harvest that you are pleased with. For the glory of God who sits upon the throne. Father, there's none like you. No one, Lord God. You alone is God. You're God. You're our creator. And we are the sheep of your pasture. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way. To your name and the everlasting Father be exalted now and forevermore. In your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. What a word from God today. What a word. Sorry about that, Holly Davidson. To God be the glory.
Got a new joke now. The dog.